Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Walker Wildman is keeping our Facebook page going over here, aren't we? What have you posted up there so far?
Yeah, on the Today's Issues Facebook page, if you don't follow us or you haven't liked our page, then go and do that. Today's Issues on Facebook.
It's hurtful that you don't like, if you don't like our page, we take that personally.
Yeah, it's an insult.
So go and like, and if you dislike, you can't even dislike, as we mentioned before. you can only like. Everybody gets a trophy on Facebook.
Right? We have the article up about North Carolina, there's contact information there. If you're from North Carolina, you can call your legislator. And also the media blackout on Obama's last-minute civil rights appointment, which was that attorney who defended the cop killer. And then, of course, we're live streaming on Facebook.
All right, Abe Hamilton. Abe, did you want to comment on anything we talked about last half hour that was left unsaid by you?
I just think we cannot underestimate the importance that North Carolina plays within the tackling the conflict between religious liberty and the sexual deviancy agenda.
And good and evil.
Yeah, and to extrapolate it further to, as you said, good and evil, so often, and I think this is something that our country is the worst for, there are issues that are of clear scriptural import that are simply boiled down to mere political talking points because we have politics that discuss them. We should never confuse the fact that just because a politician may discuss a topic, that doesn't change it from being of biblical significance. Things like the sanctity of life, that's not a political issue. That's a God issue. Mm-hmm. You know, things like human sexuality are not political issues. Just because politicians talk about them, they do not change the fact that God is the author and definer exclusively of what marriage is. The Lord alone is the describer and definer of what a man is and what a woman is. It doesn't matter what politicians say about it. It is a clear biblical and theologically significant issue.
Mm-hmm. So God created, the Bible says that God created male and female.
Yes.
And he didn't create anything in between.
Nothing in between. And he directly related his complementary makeup of male and female to their operation as husbands and wives. Mm-hmm.
So someone who is a male biologically cannot say that they are a female and that be true.
No, they can say it. It doesn't make it so.
Okay. Bruce Jenner still has male genitalia.
And he is Bruce.
He's Bruce. He can wear a dress, put makeup on, say, call me Caitlin, but that does not make him a female.
If you put lipstick on a pig, does that make that any less of a pig?
No.
Right.
No. So it's really sad and tragic to see people like that.
And the left takes advantage of it. Just like with
National
Geographic. They're exploiting 9-year-old kids to further their leftist sexual deviancy agenda.
They feature a transgendered child.
Yeah.
They're not really transgendered.
See, no, they're confused.
We get caught up in the language of the left. You're not transgendered. Either you're a male or a female.
It's a confused child whose parents have not steered them in the right direction.
Right. And so National Geographic is featuring that, celebrating that, if you will.
And imagine if this child grows up and actually reverts back to their God-given, you know, assigned gender.
Biology.
And accepts that and embraces it.
What do you say
They're
then?
Plastered on this magazine that's in the hands of millions of people.
The trauma
that's going to come from that.
Yeah, you know, these people who are male and they think they're a woman. They are spiritually messed up. They're they have emotional problems. Most of them have backgrounds that there are reasons why they get into this. Mm-hmm. They were had something happen, traumatized them as a child. So there's all kinds of reasons for this, but it's not nor will it ever be normal. And that's what Abe, that's what the those who promote this want you to say, there is no such thing as normal. We cite God and nature, and God is the author of nature, Abe, mm-hmm. as what's right. And the other side says either there is no God and nature doesn't matter, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
In this area.
In this area of human sexuality.
Yeah.
Human sexuality. There's a reason why men and women together, if can bear children, and God made man for women and woman for man. The Bible tells us, and nature bears that out.
Right. We just need to accept reality.
Yeah. So you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Again, keep being prayer today for the. Hopefully and prayerfully, HB2 in North Carolina will be held up and not be overturned by the state legislature, even though there's enormous pressure on them to do so. Because Charlotte, the city of Charlotte, rescinded their original, what do you call it?
Ordinance.
City ordinance.
Which furthered the transgendered, men using women's restrooms agenda. I don't know how else to put it. That's the simplest way to put it. The state said, no, you can't do that. That's not your purview. And we don't want to put women and children in an uncomfortable, perhaps risky situation by allowing men into their facilities. And before that, Bruce Springsteen and others said that, North Carolina legislature were a bunch of bigots. So the fight now is whether HB2 will be preserved or will it be overturned. All right, so we'll follow that story. Steve Jordahl from American Family News and OneNewsNow.com is in with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, everybody.
Sorry to be 12 minutes into the show before we get to you.
No, I'd actually like to weigh in on what you guys were talking about.
Go ahead. Fire away.
The the interesting thing to me about this whole battle, you keep hearing the question from those that are furthering the deviancy on the left and say, why does it matter to you what my marriage looks like? Mm-hmm. Well, this is why it matters, among other reasons. You mentioned that God made man and woman in Genesis 1, mm-hmm. replete from Genesis 1 through the end of Revelation, when we have the marriage feast of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Man and woman marriage has been set up by God as an illustration of God's relationship with this world. The ever undying love of God, which reaches down, and the world, the church, the bride of Christ, which reaches up to God and communes with Him in an intimate relationship. And so when the world, and Satan knew exactly what he was doing when he did this, when the world starts confusing gender roles, what they're doing is they're muddying up the illustration that God gave to the world as the first way we look at the way God loves us. Mm-hmm. And how are we supposed to share with the world the undying, unchanging, sacrificial love of God if we destroy the very institutions that he set up as signposts mm-hmm. to put that? I mean, we kind of live in a flesh and blood world where that's top of our mind, relationship with, man-woman marriage relationship, that's as far as it goes in most of our minds, and mm-hmm. as far as it goes in my minds most of the while. But if you look at it, it's for a deeper purpose than that, and it's the eternal purpose of pointing men and mm-hmm. women to God himself.
Right. To reflect.
There Amen. You go. End of sermon.
Amen, Amen. Brother.
So we have two pastors, Billy and Steve here.
Right. All right, Steve, what's leading the news this hour?
We'd like to draw your attention when you go to onenewsnow.com, the website, and forgive my voice, I'm fighting off a cold, the website of American Family News, of American Family Association. One News Now, we have a brand new guest columnist. Our friend Thomas Sowell, who has been our guest columnist, is retiring. He's deciding to go. He's done with his career. He's gonna
one of the first African American conservative,
right?
Columnists and well known thinkers.
He's one of the first. He's a disciple of Walter Williams, who raised him up. And phenomenal men.
So today at onenewsnow.com, you can read the first column of the person that we've hired to take his place, which is Ben Shapiro. Welcome, Ben Shapiro, to the airwaves.
That's one bulldog for another.
That's right. He's writing today about Obama trying to define away reality, but reality wins. And, excuse me, we have a poll question at the website that we put up, and I'd like to throw it out to you gentlemen here, too. So when you go to onenewsnow.com, you can answer this question.
Do you need some water?
I do. Can you talk amongst yourselves for a second?
Okay, Steve, because I
at least you're not at the pulpit.
His voice was about to go.
And, if you're at the pulpit, you don't have anything.
I know.
It's just silence.
Wow.
Yeah.
One
you should always bring water to the pulpit.
I've been doing the news like this in the afternoons, and I feel sorry for our listeners. But so the question that we have out there is, what supposed success of the Obama legacy do you consider his biggest failure?
And wait, hold on. That's a double negative, isn't it?
Well, he's concerned, and this has to do with the.
This is Ben Shapiro you're quoting?
No.
This is a poll question.
This is the poll question that
at One News Now.
At One News Now. So
okay, what
you read the Ben Shapiro column, and it.
What are we hearing?
It's your computer, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. as I used to say on the basketball court with an errant pass. My bad. But anyway, go ahead. I have the laptop on.
And oh, maybe it's not that.
I think it's your phone, Steve. Tell him to call back.
Just play the music on my phone.
So it wasn't my fault. I apologize unnecessarily.
I don't know what's going on with my
phone. It wasn't a bad pass.
Okay. Here you go.
Okay.
Put it in the other room.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
I don't need to.
Back to
the poll question. The poll question.
The professional newsman that you are.
That's right. The poll question at One News Now is basically looking at the Obama legacy. Our question to you is, what is his biggest failure? Because he wants to highlight his success, but we think there's a lot of things that he could have done better. So the choices we give our readers are, is it Obamacare? Is it his response to terrorism? Is it race relations in this country? Is it jobs in the economy? Or is it America's reputation around the world? What do you consider President Obama's biggest failure for his 8 years in office? And I guess we can open it up to any other topic that you guys would like to chime in on as well.
My answer would be none of the above. And this is why. I think all of the things that many of us around this table and many of our audience will highlight as great atrocities of the Obama administration are things that he set out to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
All of the things that you've just listed, I think we have landed where we are 8 years later following his administration because this was a part of his goal. These were a part of his goals. By necessity, in order for the world to become the type of world he desires, America would have to be knocked down a peg or two. You know, in order to move America closer to being the socialist utopia that he desires from his Marxist fantasies, you must have things like universal health care. We can never forget that Obamacare originally was drafted as a universal health care piece. And you go down the list of the things that you've identified. These are things that I would submit that are a part of his intention to fundamentally transform America into something different than it was when he took office.
Right, right.
Well, one thing I agree with you. One thing that President Obama did, I think, intentionally mislead people about from 2008 through the end till about halfway through his presidency. He said he was opposed to homosexual marriage. When he ran for office in 2008 for president, he was a bigot. And
according to the left,
yeah,
Right.
According to his own crowd.
He was a bigot at that time, mm-hmm. but the left got on board with him, even though he was a homophobe.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, about halfway through his presidency, he revealed who he truly was. Remember, he was evolving
right.
on the issue.
And what you're saying is not speculation. David Axelrod wrote a book explaining that.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead. I don't want to take your thunder.
No, but so what we know now is that President Obama was for homosexual, quote, marriage all along.
The whole time.
The whole time. But he felt it necessary to lie.
To get elected.
To get elected. Because he didn't, at the time, he wasn't for certain going to be the candidate. Well, no, I think he was the candidate, but he wasn't for certain going to beat John McCain at the time. And he didn't want to, his team, Axelrod and his team thought that if he came out for same-sex marriage, in quote again, I say, then that would hurt him with the African-American church, perhaps, enough to damage his chances to win the presidency. So President Obama and David Axelrod calculated, we've got to lie about this one. We can tell them later how we really feel, but we can't go. We've got to be, got to stay with the homophobic message now.
And I would throw the media into that too, because you don't have to be a rocket science. You have political questionnaires that President Obama has filled out in 1996 saying that he supported homosexual marriage in 96.
Okay.
As a state senator in Illinois.
You know, the
right. Your question about what's his biggest failure, I guess, from a pro-family side would be his push for homosexual, quote, marriage, changing the definition of marriage in America. Go ahead.
The corollary to the problem that you're dealing with here that we're talking about, which is the message that he had at the beginning was not acceptable to our culture. It hadn't evolved. The culture hadn't evolved to the point where we could actually talk. It would actually accept.
Well, he was already on board.
He was,
but he had to.
But the rest of America right. wasn't on board with him. He was talking with Rick Warren at the time. But what that means is that in the intervening 8 years, the undercurrent of America has shifted to the point where now. Because it seems like forever ago that we were passing marriage
amendments all over the country.
Marriage,
yeah.
Constitutional amendments all over the country. It seems like forever ago, but it wasn't.
But it was not.
It was not that long ago. And the
when President Obama was elected in 2008 is the same year that California, yes, that California, mm-hmm. the most liberal state in the country, with the possible exception of the state of New York, passed a marriage amendment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Proposition defining 8. Marriage as between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. And yet they elected President Obama the same day. So this is the
thing that always perplexes me. How do you get a country to unanimously or seemingly a majority of people in a country change their mind on a moral issue like this so quickly? What is it? A psychological anthropologist or somebody would be able to answer the question.
I'll tell you what it is. It's well, first of all, I would like to see a survey done by people who could go into a polling booth
mm-hmm.
and have privacy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
These surveys on LGBT issues, very few people feel open to say what they really think. It's kind of like the Trump phenomenon.
I was just thinking that. Kind of like the polling on Trump before the election?
Yeah, because they don't want to be called names. So they know that if you say, no, I'm opposed to homosexual marriage, then they know that the next question is, why are you so bigoted?
Mm-hmm.
And so the social pressure, the shaming, if you will, out there in the public over these kinds of issues, like we see what's happening in North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's enormous. So it takes a brave soul to stand up to it.
Well, in terms of a country that struggled for
Hollywood too,
100 and some odd years with the slavery question, it took that long for and we're still seeming to want to turn the corner on race relations in mm-hmm. this country and affirm the inherent dignity of a person of color. That took a war and years and decades to solve. And Yet when it comes to a fundamental moral principle about are men and women different, and is it acceptable that we upend thousands of years of marriage? It happened overnight. Mm-hmm. It happened in a blink of an eye. And I always go back.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah, because I think Tim's point is that it hasn't happened.
Well,
that's what I think his point is.
I always go back to Germany in the 30s. How can an entire country come to at least, at best, be silent about the massacre of 6 million Jews? Now, when we went in and liberated Germany and we liberated the concentration camps, the people who were living in the towns around those concentration camps knew what was going on. Some of them turned their blind eye to it, but the smell was there the whole time, and they knew. And when the Allies marched those men and women from the town in to help clean up the concentration camps of the bodies and the filth that was there, the Allies held the town as responsible as the German government. Mm-hmm. And how does a culture get to the point where it can condone this kind of a thing and not speak out? And this is why I think this is a spiritual battle as much as anything. The undercurrent of culture in this country is turning, and it's being pushed by an agenda that I think is even bigger than the left.
Yeah, but I think, but you cannot underestimate two things. One, you can't underestimate the demoralization of the German people, morale-wise, following World War I. That's one. Secondarily, you cannot underestimate the psychological impact of the German secret police. If you dissented publicly against Adolf Hitler's agenda,
yeah,
you had literal consequences, mm-hmm, to suffer, you and your family.
Well,
and I don't think it's directly synonymous, but I think it's analogous. Consider where the Democratic Party is, to where a similar genocide, one that occurs in the womb,
right,
to where we're at a place where you would mount the DNC stage and shout your abortion,
yeah,
to right, where the entire, you cannot be a lefty today and oppose abortion.
Right.
You will face the social and the ideological and you know, the fraternal ostracization that a lot of the people in Germany would have faced physical consequences for speaking up against that.
There's,
and you see that
a direct correlation.
Yeah, and you see that even among, for example, the homosexuals who say, listen, we don't think homosexual marriage is a good idea.
Right.
You see that amongst the transgender who say, listen, we do not need to open these bathrooms like this. They have no voice, even though they exist.
Right.
Even though they exist, they are almost bludgeoned, you know, morally and psychologically and emotionally having these positions.
Look what happened to Condi Rice. Look what happened to Colin Powell. When they started taking conservative, they were called all kinds of names, by the way.
And I live this.
Yeah, I bet you did. Yeah.
Which is why I'm explaining it.
Yeah.
You cannot minimize the fact or the reality that you become an effective enemy if you dare have a thought that strays away from lock and step with the mainstream on that side.
So
it is the appearance of homogenous opinions when that's not the case. Which,
right,
to Tim's point, if you ask him in private, you probably get a true assessment.
Yeah, exactly. All right, you're listening to, and you can't underestimate the Hollywood entertainment industry pushing left-wing causes night after night after night, mm-hmm, movie after movie after movie, song after song after song. I mean, it's all one-sided, and it's in many respects anti-Christian, at least anti-Christian value system. But the good news is we move forward with the gospel of Christ as our message,
mm-hmm,
and we're going to have a new administration with some better judges and some better appointments, so there is hope for the future. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody.